Hello, Extraordinarily Fresh League. Welcome to the Week 10 Extraordinarily Fresh Podcast. I'm your host, Skip, and I'm here with Eric. How are you?
Hey, Skip, how you doing? I'm doing wonderful on this Sunday.
Yeah, it's a wonderful day. I'll say a wonderful day for some. Others did not have quite the greatest week here.
No, that's for sure.
That's for sure. All right, so we are here to talk about Week 10. A little later on in the show, we'll have Clint, who is our Week 10 High Points leader. We'll have him on the show and have him talk about his high points and being in first place and all that. But we wanted to go through the Week 10 action. And the way I wanted to do this was just kind of look at some player performances and get your opinion on those players specifically and sort of how they're progressing in their offenses. And so I'll start with the wide receivers. The first is Adam Thielen, Minnesota wide receiver. And then the second is Sterling Shepard. He's the New York Giants de facto number one wide receiver. Of course, we know now in week 11 that he was ill and couldn't play. But in week 10, he had a pretty good stat line. 11 catches for 142 yards on 13 targets.
Well, I always liked at Oklahoma. He always had talent. I think he finally got his opportunity with OBJ out. I don't think he's an 11 catch a week. He's a consistent RB2 with a strong floor and a good high ceiling potential. So I think he's a pretty safe player. If you're looking for that, he might give you a 20-25 sometime. And I think you can't go wrong with a player like Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, and on Adam Thielen, I mean, I was very excited about him at the beginning of the season because they were talking about how they were moving him and Stephon Diggs around in the offense, and so I felt like he was inheriting that high-volume role in that offense. And of course, you know, little did we know that Sam Bradford wasn't going to be healthy, but I believe that Case Keenum and his gunslinger-like mentality is really good for Adam Thielen, and we've seen the past few weeks he's really blown up.
Well, Diggs is always thought was the player to own. Much younger, and he's got great routes, and he's a deep threat. But I can't believe how Thielen is outplaying him. I'm shocked. I know Thielen's always good, but I didn't realize he could dominate like this.
Right. So the third wide receiver that I wanted to talk about is one that many people have indicated as an underperformer. I don't necessarily think so, but it's Michael Thomas, wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints. And in week 10, he had what I guess many would deem to be a breakout week. And that was 9 catches on 10 targets for 117 yards, but no touchdowns. What do you think about Michael Thomas?
Well, Skip, he's one of my favorite players. You know, he's having a great year. New Orleans is running a different game plan. They're running the ball more. So I think Thomas's catch percentage is pretty good for leaders. I think he's a strong player. He's, 23 years old? He's got the future. It's bright, and he's had a good year. You know, I think he overperformed a little last year, but also Cooks isn't there anymore. So I think our teams are probably Cooks, was a good 1-2 combo, and now Cooks is gone, and there's really no strong number two. So I think they're probably, the defenses are a little more focused, and he's probably getting double teamed a little more, but he's having a strong year. Is it an elite year? No, but, he's so young, and it's only his second year, and he's got Breeze for at least a couple more years, so I think he's having a great year. I'd take him anytime on my team anytime.
I agree as well. I'm a little incredulous at people who are saying that he's not having a great year. I mean, and perhaps they're talking about for the draft stock that they've invested in him, but still, I mean, he's been very consistent and the touchdowns will come. And, at this point, the way it's looking, the touchdowns will likely come in the fantasy playoffs when you need them most.
Well, you also didn't have Kamara wasn't there last year, but he's a running back. He's kind of like a little kind of like Chris Thompson, catching the ball out of the backfield. He's much bigger, but it's a different players are there this year, so you can't really compare what he did last year. But he's, anyone have him on their team.
Right, absolutely. So looking at the running backs, it wasn't a really good running back scoring week. And in fact, two of the top three running backs in PPR scoring on the week are actually on the same team. And those two running backs are Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, the New Orleans Saints. What do you think of that tandem?
Well, I was looking at the rankings for RB. Kamara, I think he's number 7 PPR. Him and, I just look at the rookie running back this year. Hunt, you all know how Hunt got off to a great start, and he's not in the fade. Well, Kamara's been coming on. He's, he continues to put up 20-plus points every week, and you got Ingram who, ever since AP, I think it was the best thing, trading AP. It cleared up the backfield. It gave the two running backs a fine role, and I think they're a great tandem. They're two different type of players too, so they work. So this team, they've always been Coach Peyton who is running backs. We had throws and but they always had those running backs that catch out of the backfield, and Ingram out of Alabama was always, he's always touted, but now AP's gone, and look what they have. So I think it's going to continue. Are they going to get 30 points every week? No, but two of them are getting 20-plus every week, and that's great. So they keep winning. So can't complain.
Right, absolutely. You can't complain about that production and the way the offense is moving the ball. Those guys are pretty much guaranteed to have that production going forward, or at least have the opportunities. If we look at the quarterbacks on the week, there were two that really stuck out in my mind, and the first was Cam Newton going up against the Miami Dolphins. The Carolina Panthers won 45-21, and Cam Newton threw for 254 yards, but more important, he actually threw for 4 touchdowns, 2 of which went to Devin Funchess. He also had 5 attempts rushing for 95 rushing yards. The second is a quarterback that's been a surprise to a lot of us, and he was the number 1 overall pick last year. We talked about him on last week's podcast, but he's had a follow-up performance and where he beat the Houston Texans 33-7, and that's Jared Goff, a quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams. He passed for 355 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he looked pretty effective in that offense. So what do you think about those two guys, Cam Newton and Jared Goff?
Well, I was reading an article how playing without Benjamin and playing with Benjamin, Cam's statistics, it's Kelvin Benjamin who got traded to Buffalo, the statistics are much better for Cam when Benjamin is not playing. He's actually, I think, an RB. He's actually QB3 or 4 for the year. He's having a great year. He's starting to run again. I think he was probably injured early in the year. That's why he wasn't performing. But teams that held on to him and put up with his inconsistent performances are getting rewarded. I think he's got a good, strong floor the rest of the year if he can keep running. McCaffrey is really helping. He has really taken off. He is actually has a more defined role now in Cam. And I think ever since, like you mentioned, Benjamin is not a team. It totally changed the team, in my opinion. Cam is opening up more for him.
Yeah, and on Jared Goff, he's just in an offense that's quite innovative. Sean McVay, I've watched him as a Washington fan, and I've seen his offense do some really innovative things with Kirk Cousins at the helm, and I kind of knew going to L.A. that he would make the best use of the talent that was there. Although what I didn't know was that Goff was actually good. And, I guess we could think that him being the number 1 pick and overall, it just didn't seem last year looking at his film that he, was mechanically sound, that he was a good decision maker, or that he was particularly an intelligent or pensive quarterback. But it seems this year that he's really stepped it up and has really benefited fantasy owners to that regard.
Well, very rarely do rookie quarterbacks really, you know, take off their first year. I think the coach, new coaching staff, Jeff Fisher, didn't do him any favors. He's gone. They have, you know, their weapons. You know, Woods came from Buffalo, and Sammy's, you know, he's been off and on, but Sammy Watkins has helped out a little. Gurley's back to who Gurley really was. I think the whole new coaching staff, Goff looks more confident. I think he is playing. I don't think he can keep up these elite numbers, but I think he's a strong, you know, low QB1 or high QB2 the rest of the year. They got the new offense, and Goff put up good numbers. I don't think he'll keep up. He's a strong QB1, like QB1.
And among the tight ends, there are two that stuck out. And the first is one that has been doing a great job all season, and he's on your team. That's Evan Engram, tight end for the New York Giants. And then the second is Vernon Davis, tight end for the Washington Redskins. And he's been doing this, of course, in the absence of Jordan Reed in the recent past. But we've even seen when Jordan Reed's been on the field that he's been a productive tight end.
Evan Engram, I made that trade with JR. You know, he is the future. Very rarely do tight ends really take off rookies their first year. You know, and they're in that awful – he's doing so well. And look at the Giants. They're one of the worst teams in the league. He's just he was highly regarded coming out of Ole Miss. He's just taken off, and he's got a great future. I think he's got a good floor. He's I think he's like top. Look at the dynasty rankings. He's for the future dynasty ranking number 3 for tight ends for the future. So I think the kid is just—he's one of my favorite players. That's why I traded for him. Looking, you know, don't think I can win it this year, so I'm looking to get some pieces that won't be too expensive and are gonna help me in the future. And that was one of my targets, and I'm happy to get him. He is well respected by all the dynasty experts in the league, Skip, and he's got a great future. He's doing better than what people thought he would do to start. Most rookie tight ends don't do well their first year. It's very rare. And Vernon Davis, you know, I think he's at 34, 35 years old. Look what he's doing. You know, Jordan Reed's been always injured, and Vernon Davis is such a big target. I just watch him run. But for his age, he is in great shape, and he's like taking tackles down. He's just so strong, and he's fairly fast for a tight end, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean Jordan Reed is just—he doesn't seem like he's really going to get out there on the field, and I don't know—I don't even know if I trust him to play the entire game when he is out there. So Vernon Davis is a great safety blanket to have for Kirk Cousins in that offense, and I mean he's still even at 35 years old, he moves extremely well, and of course we've always known him as being a stellar athlete, but you know he's now showing some chops and sort of catching the ball and creating space and making the best out of what he's given with the defensive alignments.
I think he's got a good 2-3 years left in him. He doesn't look like he's slowing down.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, I'm watching those games and, you know, it's in full speed. And, you know, we've always said about Vernon Davis that as a tight end, if you watch the game in full speed, you'll think that he's being fast-forwarded. I think he still has a little bit of that burst. I've seen some plays where he's really been able to still kind of reach that max speed. And as a tight end, that's very valuable.
Well, I don't think a lot of people respect him. I think he's just a quiet player. He's cheap to attain, and he just puts up good numbers. I don't people realize how good he is for his age. I think he's kind of quiet. You don't hear – people don't talk a lot about him. He just keeps chugging along.
Absolutely. All right, so looking to our league, we ended up having some pretty interesting scores, and we'll talk to Clint about his. Clint was actually the high points winner, and he was only at 158. And on the week, and he did end up beating you, and that score was 158 to 125. We also had another riveting matchup between Chad and JR, and JR was actually projected to win this matchup, but Chad ended up winning handily, and it was 149 to 127. We had Simon, who beat Eric Farrell by a very slim margin. It was 126 to 122. Ronnie ended up beating AJ 111 to 97. Roland ended up getting his fifth win and beating Ish 139 to 100. We had Shane, who finally got his fourth win, and he beat Brad 109 to 73. And then, as I predicted, Jewel ended up beating me, getting her fourth win, and that was 126 to 99. So we're here at this point of the season where we have 10 games. We got a number of teams that are at sort of that 5-5, 6-4, 4-6 mark. And then we've got the teams at the top who are at more of the 9-1 and 7-3. What do you think about the landscape of the league at this point?
I think teams like JR, they're creeping up. I think it's anyone's game. I think Clint is the team to beat, but I think he can be. I did not go up. The two teams are really picking up steam. Chad, in particular, his team is well. He's got a trade for Cousins, I believe.
Yeah, he did.
Good move. And he's made a few deals, and he's putting up. He's coming on at the right time, and he could be a play. Simon, I think he's in fourth place right now. He's got a strong team, and Brad has been consistent all year. I don't think Clint is the even though he's got the best record, I don't think he's like a slam dunk to win it all. I think anything can happen. There's not a lot of difference between the first team and say the fourth or fifth team, in my opinion. It's gonna be injuries. Injuries is gonna play a big part. If anyone else goes down, and just playing the right players. It's gonna be a lot of coaches going to be team emotions. So we'll have the bye weeks will be out of the way soon. So I think it's gonna be fun watching. I won't be in it, but it'll be fun watching those teams fight. Fight it out.
Yeah, that 5-6 seed in particular look like they're pretty much up for grabs, and there are a number of teams, I'd say at least six, that are vying for that spot. Now, it's interesting because you have maybe, half of those teams who think they have a shot and then the other half who don't, and they're going to start making moves correspondingly, especially as the trade deadline approaches next week. So also looking at this, you did mention that there was a trade where Kirk Cousins was acquired by Chad to bolster his team that seemed to be lacking a quarterback. And that's an opportunity for us to go through the trades. And we would typically go through the waiver wire report, but as you know, the waiver wire is pretty barren. There's really no moves that we really want to talk about. So I think talking about the trades would be more beneficial for us, at least on this podcast. So the first trade I wanted to highlight was that trade that you mentioned, and it was Allen Robinson and Andy Dalton being traded from Chad to Clint, and then Clint traded Kirk Cousins to Chad. Clearly it's a win now move for Chad, and he's giving up one of his cherished keepers in Allen Robinson to Clint, who's in first place, but could afford to trade away a backup quarterback.
Well, there is a difference. Cousins is obviously much better than Dalton, but I think it was a smart move. But I think next year, I think Allen Robinson is going to be, he's back healthy. I like him. I think he's a good, I don't think he's an elite what we thought he was, but I think he's got he'll be a strong wide receiver too. I can, but I can't blame Chad going for it. It's a good move. Clint, great move for him. He doesn't need Cousins, and he gets a great keeper for next year. So it's a win-win for both of them.
Yeah, it's the rare win-win, and you like to see those in trades. The other move that happened this week.
The only thing I will say, though, if Chad some reason picks up, I never want to take away one of my top players, and I have to face him in the Champions Round. I always dread that. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but it could be interesting if Chad gets to the title and he plays Clinton. He's got a. Goes up against Cousins, it'd be kind of funny, but that's a smart move by Clint. But
yeah, I mean, you're never really gonna start Cousins once Wentz passes bye week. So, you know, you might as well get some value for a player you're not even gonna start. I think it was a good move. The next trade we have here is between AJ and Simon, and Simon traded AJ. T.Y. Hilton and Rishard Matthews, and he received Robbie Anderson and Marquise Lee. And, I mean, we can see what's going on here. Simon's really just kind of riding a hot hand. He's going for receivers that are producing now, and T.Y. Hilton with Andrew Luck on the mend and most likely not coming back this season, he wasn't really going to be a productive player for him this year, and Simon's going for the championship.
I like Robbie Anderson. No one really knows a lot about him, but he just puts up good numbers. And I think it's smart move by Simon. T.Y. is obviously, he's a high-risk player without Luck there. So, again, this could backfire next year if Luck's back. T.Y. is one of the top players when Luck is healthy. But for both owners. Simon's going for the title, and he's getting a couple productive players. They're putting up good numbers.
Absolutely. So, as I mentioned, the trade deadline is coming up, and the trade deadline will be on it'll end up being on Friday, which I've always found to be a little problematic, but it'll be on Friday, November 24th, and so the trades need to be actually done by midnight Pacific time. So definitely, you know, get your trade offers out there. I know we've had one recently within the past couple of days, and we'll talk about that one on next week's podcast. But hopefully we'll get some other trades and some contenders trying to shore up their rosters to make a run at the championship. So now it's time for the Commission's Power Rankings. And the Power Rankings have really kind of stalled a little bit, but I feel like in the upcoming weeks, they'll start to change just a little bit, and we'll start to kind of figure some things out. But with the power rankings, they pretty much stayed the same at the top. I have numbers 1 through 3. I've got Clint, JR, and I've got Clint, Brad, and JR. And then number 4, I've got Simon. Number 5 is Chad. Number 6 is Ish. Number 7 is Roland. Number 8 is Ronnie. 9 is myself. 10 is you, Eric. And then numbers 11 through 14 are the same. It's Jewel, AJ, Shane, and then Eric Farrell.
You're being generous to my teamship.
Well, I mean, hey, with those teams, you kind of have to just... You really just have to figure out what's going on. I mean, you can just kind of lay all of them out and put them in any order, and I think you'll be somewhat right.
It's also the schedule, too. You go up against the top teams, you're going to run into problems.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's at the top, I think it's pretty clear. And even in the sort of the top of the middle, it's becoming a lot more clear. So, you know, you got Simon and you've got Chad who have begun to kind of separate themselves. And, you know, Ish is sitting at 6, but he's definitely descending at this point. And, you know, if he continues to lose, then he'll continue to fall down the power rankings. But then after that, it's really just a jumbled mess. All right, so now I'm glad to introduce our Week 10 High Points winner. Of course, as we mentioned, it was a little bit of low scoring across the board this week, but we do have 158 points, Clint. He's sitting in first place and winning Week 10 High Points. How's it going?
Good, man. It's a little weird to win High Points on 158, but I'll take it. I know Chad was trying to give me a run for my money, and it looks like he was going to take it. I'm a little accustomed to coming in second place on High Points. It seems like that's happened to me several times this week, so I was just kind of expecting that. So waking up to see Kenyon Drake, I think, busted off a long touchdown that kind of sealed it for me. So, no, it was good, man. I looks like I'm going to lose one to JR, but I'll take probably remaining in first place and in High Points for last week. So,
well, congratulations on beating me, Clint. Yeah, I did put up 120 points, but
oh yeah, that's right, Eric. That's right. I was actually, to be honest with you, man, the way the 1 o'clock game started out, I was nervous, man. And I mean, in this league, you can never look at anybody and say, well, this is a sure win. But you know, I was like, well, it looks like I'm going to lose this to Eric, and I was really hoping to. I needed this win to stay in first place because other teams were coming for me. So, but yeah, man. Now you did. I think you did a little bit better than you were expecting, anyway, right, Eric?
Well, I had the car. Well, that's a disaster to begin with for the year. But Beth had put up 20 plus points. That wasn't bad for a substitute, and I picked up a couple. You know. Picked up a couple new guys, so took a chance and traded Cooper to shake things up. Realized probably not going to be a year playing for the future. And I held my own against that team this year. So I had a decent week. I'll take it. Just knew I wasn't going to win, but
right. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be the best team for long if Kareem Hunt can't get his stuff together. He's looking like his newness is kind of wore off.
With him, Clint, I don't understand. They're not using him. They're taking him out on second down, putting Weston. I don't. They not trust him anymore? I don't understand what's going on.
I don't know. He had 78 yards on 18 carries today. So I mean, he got a full workload. Well, then again, I mean, what Kansas City did against the Giants was just embarrassing anyway. I mean, truthfully. So I don't know if it's just game planning and, you know, they're not getting him out in space where he's the best. I don't know.
Today was terrible. That team, lose to the Giants? Good.
Yeah, that was pitiful.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. I was definitely expecting them to be in a competitive game because they were coming into Giant Stadium, but still
come out like that. You have a whole week off and you play like that? That's gotta be the coach's deal from.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Giant?
Yeah, definitely. That's Ben McAdoo's job that's being saved by that win. And I don't know, Andy Reid teams are normally well-coached teams. They're normally prepared. But this team did not seem very well prepared at all.
Nope. Travis Kelce did all right. But outside of that, I mean, that whole team just really pooped the bed.
Yeah, so Clint, I mean, we're sitting here at week 11. You're in first place and solidly in first place. And, you know, you're really battling for a week one, a week one of the playoffs bye. So what do you think your chances are at that? And how do you view your team going forward into the playoffs?
Man, I don't know. Like I said, if I could get Kareem Hunt back to, you know, even – you know, getting a touchdown here and there, like that, he was kind of like what I really was kind of hanging my team on at the beginning of the season, and now it seems like it's Mark Ingram. You know, I mean, and that's all game flow dependent too, because if the Saints get in a situation where they need to lean on Kamara, then, you know, Ingram's role is kind of diminished there. So, the only solid is AJ Green. Keenan Allen blew up today, but, you know, next week he's going to have, you know, 60 yards on 4 catches. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I can hang out around 150 points, you know, 140, 150 points, I feel confident going into any matchup. But, you know, I don't know. I'm so bummed out about Kareem Hunt because I have him in 3 out of my 4 leagues. And just like, that's, I don't know. That's what really the only thing I can say. I don't know. I would love to get the first round bye. But, you know, if my RB1 isn't going to be producing like an RB1, then I'm in trouble.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Kareem Hunt is going to be the key, definitely. And I mean, I think going into the playoffs, you have some okay matchups for Kareem Hunt, but I do have some issues with him. And, you know, I have him on a couple of, actually, every single team other than in this league, I actually have him on my team. And you know, I'm looking at potentially moving him or finding some replacements just because he is trending down.
Yeah, I mean, in this league, you know, like, since I have him, like, I'll always start him just because, you know, I mean, he'll be good for a second flex in this league, you know what I mean? But, you know, yeah, I mean, he's definitely trending down. I mean, that's a fact. And, you know, and based on the fact that I have him in the – have him from the rookie draft, then I'm kind of stuck with him for a while if he – has a lower role, you know, carrying on this season and even into next, if they, you know, either draft somebody or when Spencer Ware comes back. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that situation? It could be a, you know, next season I could be looking at a 3-man, you know, committee there. So, I mean, who knows? But yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, if I can get that first round bye, yeah, that'd be great. But it's kind of like, if your team's not good enough that you need the first round bye, then, I mean, do you belong there kind of thing? That's kind of what I'm looking at right now.
I don't know. I'm not really – I'm confident that he'll be a good player going into the future and that he's a good stash and keeper in dynasty leagues. Like, I don't even think Spencer Ware is going to really have a tangible impact on his carries. I really just think this is them looking at him as a rookie and trying to preserve him down the stretch. Now, is it a smart move? Not necessarily. But, you know, it's still the move that they are making.
Well, and to Skip, you know, we talk about him, you know, trending down. But, I mean, realistically, though, the Chiefs have been trending down just as a whole. I mean, they start 6-0 and they've lost 3 in a row or something like that? Is that what it is? Or 4 in a row, something like that? What is it?
Yeah. It's been 5. Yeah, after going 5-0. They've lost 4 in a row.
So that's, I mean, it could not all be on him. It could be just, you know, game planning and whatever, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if they can get it together. And I mean, if he can go back, and I'm not saying I need 25, 30 points out of him every game, but if he can get back to, you know, 120, 130 all purpose yards and a touchdown, you know, every game or two, then, you know, then I'll be in good shape to be able to start him confidently. But right now I don't have that. And I feel like that's a big missing piece in my lineup.
Right. Absolutely. All right. And so last thing, you know, we've got the big matchup against JR this week, and, you know, he's changed his name to reflect yours, I guess. I mean, what do you think about this whole gamesmanship thing that's going on this week?
If I had to pick someone in the league to lose to, it'd probably be JR. But yeah, it's hilarious. I saw that on, I think I started checking things on like Tuesday or something like that, and I saw that and I just lost it. I instantly pulled the phone over and I showed my wife and I was like, that's hilarious, because she knows that's pretty much my name in all the leagues I do, just because I think it's funny. But yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, JR is having a huge game, and I'm putting up a respectable game, but it's not looking like it's going to compete unless Ajayi doesn't do anything and Wentz just goes off. But yeah, no, it was a good matchup this week with JR. But the only thing I will say I'm glad about is the decently high score to even if in a couple games I fall down into second place, hopefully that high score will carry me into a first round bye.
Yeah, I mean, you're still sitting in the 130 range and you're projected to be sort of in the high 140s. So you're still right around that target area. It's just that he did have a fair amount of high performers on his team.
Yes, congrats, JR. If you're listening.
His name. I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, that whole exchange was pretty fun. And then, you know, I think Eric, you came in and, you know, you started kind of egging him on, and then others came in and did it. And I think he does a good job with that specifically. Like
I was looking for his standings. I was like, where's the nemesis? I said, there's no nemesis. I had to look. It's like, you gotta be kidding me.
Oh yeah, I got confused so many times. Simon and I were doing the Week 9 podcast, and I said your name, Clint, so many times when I was looking at his team. it was very funny.
Well, he even changed his picture too. That made it that much better.
Yeah.
There's no way JR's in first place, because I thought Clint's in first place.
Right. Yeah, that was just really weird. All right, well, thanks for coming on, Clint. I mean, it's been a great season for you, and congrats on your high points win. And, you know, and sitting in first place, you definitely deserve it. And I'm glad it's happened for you finally.
Yeah,
well, I'm not going to do a win this year, Clint. I'm pulling for you. I hope Hunt can turn this around. I hope he can. If he can, I think you've got a good shot with him.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Eric. And thanks to you, Skip, for having me on too, man.
All right, no problem.
Have a good day with your family.
We'll see you guys.
Have a good one. Enjoy the holiday coming up.
Yeah, you too. And the rest of the league, enjoy their Thanksgiving, man. See you guys.
All right. See ya. Okay, so to end off this this podcast, we've got the league kind of at a point where we're beginning to see how the playoffs are beginning to shape up. And in fact, we've got a couple of teams who will likely have clinched playoff spots. And of course, one of them is Clint. He already clinched after week 10. But then we've got Brad looking at clinching a spot, and perhaps even JR if he can pull off this win against Clint. But looking forward to these week 11 matchups, we do have a number that are pretty compelling. And the first one, of course, we just talked about it, Clint versus JR. JR projected to actually lose that matchup, but at this point it looks like he's winning. We've got Chad versus you, Eric. And I think Chad was projected to win, and I believe he's probably going to win based on our current points here. We've also got Shane versus Simon. And Simon was projected to win that matchup. It looks like he may win it. And then we've got Joel versus Roland. Roland with a very narrow projection to win over Joel. And it seems like this one is well within play. We've got AJ versus Eric Farrell. And they were generally sort of right around the same projection. And they look like they're generally around the same score. Then we've got Brad versus Ish. And Ish is trying to get his first win in four games after losing four straight. And Brad looks like he's putting up a strong effort here, and Ish may have to do some coming back in the late games. And then we've got myself versus Ronnie. Ronnie trading away some significant portions of his team for keeper purposes, and hopefully I can pull off the win there. What do you think about your matchup with Chad, Eric?
Oh, I didn't think I had a chance. You know, Jordan Reed out again, and I made that trade, which wasn't really much of a risk trade. CJ Anderson wasn't doing much, so, you know, Reed's not doing much. He's out. So I got Chris Godwin ahead to play, and Zeke, the suspension really killed me, you know. That's how it works. Can't make excuses. So take Zeke out. That's a good 20, probably guaranteed 20 points I lose right there. Morris, maybe at most. I don't think he's going to get more than 10 at most. So that's hurt me. So Dad's a better team. He deserves to win. He's going to win. He's got a good team. So good luck, Chad.
All right. And I mean, the most compelling matchup at this point is I think Brad and Ish, just because Ish really needs this win. Obviously, he'd go down to 6-5 after starting off 6-0. And I know, you know, there's been a brewing thing between you and him, where you were saying that he wasn't sort of the essence of a 6-0 team, and it looks like you've come out on the winning side of that argument so far.
I wasn't trying to trash his team, which I don't think I did. He took, he'd come back at me, tell me my team sucks. But I admit it sucks. You don't have to tell me it. I know my team stinks. But I didn't think he was a 6-0 team. And, you know, I wasn't trying to be hard on him. I was just being realistic. I said you have a good team. I didn't say you had a bad team, but you didn't have a 6-0 team. And I think I was right. You know, I didn't even realize he's lost 4 in a row. I wasn't really paying attention. So it looks like he's going to go down again. It's like Brad's going to pull it out. So he's got a good team. I don't think he's the top 4 team, though. But he's got a good team. So, Ish, when you listen, no hard feelings. I have no hard feelings against you. I still didn't think you were a 6-0 team at the time. That's all. So he's got a good team. He's got a challenge ahead of him. And I wish him luck.
I think that's a good way to put it. And, yeah, you know, this sort of describes most teams in the league. You know, if you're not Clint or if you're not JR or Brad or maybe even Chad, then you've pretty much got this that you can say about your team. And any given week, you can end up putting up a lot of points or you could end up having a dud. And we're seeing that week after week here.
Doesn't he have Bell? Love him, Bell.
Yeah, he has Bell. Yeah. He has Bell, and you know,
Bell is underproducing too. He's been a kind of disappointment.
Yeah, Bell has been underproducing, but what I'm hoping that means is that their best is yet to come, and you know, as we approach the playoffs, that's my thing.
He's such a good player, but you know, I think it's going to be. Those first round playoffs, 3, 6, 4, 5, they're gonna be death matches. Those are gonna be quite matches to watch. They're gonna be some real high scores.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think you have a chance, Skip. You're not out.
No, I'm not out. I mean, I think if I win this week and you know, I've got a really important matchup next week that you know, we'll definitely determine whether or not I can make it because I'll actually be facing a team that I'm, you know, fighting for the playoffs with. And so I think, yeah, definitely. If I can win this week, then we'll see what happens. I got to fight Ish.
I think the teams like myself and some other teams are probably outside looking in. I think I made some trades. I think it's a good time now to get some keepers, some low-cost keepers. Load some players we probably can't afford next year and look to the future, which is what I've done. So good time, you know, even though you're out of it, it's a good buy. It's a good time to sell and get your teams ready for the next year.
Right. And I can imagine in advance of our matchup next week, Ish will entertain offers for Odell Beckham Jr. I'm not sure if he'll actually pull the trigger on them, but you know, I know he's put him out there on the board and he's entertained a lot of offers sort of in conversations, but I'm not necessarily sure how close he'll be to actually moving him.
It'll be a pricey keeper, so that's going to be I think it might be a little hard to sell, knowing it's probably going to be in the $50 to $40 range for a keeper soon.
Right, right. And I mean, I think that's reasonable given sort of what players go for in the draft. But yeah, you're right. People are going to look at that price and they're going to not necessarily want to put that much towards the player, especially coming off an injury like that, even though, you know, we know he's a great player, a great talent. And, you know, he won't be affected too much by that injury.
I think it's amazing to get how many top players have gone down this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, you know, you would think that if you built a team with Odell Beckham and David Johnson and Aaron Rodgers and countless others that have gone down, you would think that you would have one of the best teams in the league. It turns out you probably have one of the worst teams in the league if you have that. All right, great. So looking at this week 11 stuff, I mean, we're pretty much through week 11, so we kind of know what the outcomes are here. But it'll be interesting to see how some of these matchups tend to play out with the Sunday night games and the Monday night games.
Should be some. I think there'll be a couple games for that for the Wire tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Eric. So thanks a lot for coming onto the podcast. It was a very good time. Thanks, Clint, for coming on and talking about his High Points win. And you know, here's wishing everyone the best of luck in the next few weeks and going into rivalry week in week 13. Hopefully, we'll have some playoff implications there in that week.
What's going to be interesting next couple of weeks. Thanks, Skip, for putting the podcast together. Good luck to you. Have a good Thanksgiving. Wish everyone in the league. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to everyone in the league. And looking forward to talking about games with you all. If not on Thanksgiving, we'll definitely reconnect next weekend. All right, for Eric, this is Skip signing off for week 10. We'll see you in week 11.